circle. This is Angelus. We're now on season 3, episode 34 of this podcast, and this time we'll be discussing a very interesting topic about the mantle of cybersecurity. For today's podcast episode, we have invited Mr. Gary Kong, an industrial cybersecurity expert based from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, as he shares with us his valuable insights on cybersecurity and its significant relevance to our digital economy. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to FinCircle and welcome to our podcast. In 2009, a malware manipulated the speed of centrifuge in a nuclear enrichment plant, causing them to spin out of control. This particular malware, now known as Stuxnet, was introduced into standalone networks via flash drives, and it basically spread across production networks. Its sophistication serves as a powerful example of cyber attacks' potential as weapons in the world of connected physical factories, and the battle is decidedly unbalanced. Organizations must protect a wide swath of technology, while attackers need only pinpoint the weakest link. It is of critical importance, however, that we balance our focus between the external threat, the landscape, and the very real and typically overlooked cyber risk created by businesses who are increasingly using smart, connected technologies to innovate, transform, modernize, and otherwise make tactical or strategic business decisions that could somehow result in such risk. This new and emerging risk should be managed and mitigated, and the increased connectivity of smart machinery, a shift known as Industry 4.0, raises all our stakes. Through its use of smart, autonomous technologies, the Industry 4.0, as we call it today, strives to marry the digital world with physical action to drive smart factories, as well as enable advanced manufacturing. But while it plans to enhance digital capabilities throughout the manufacturing and supply chain processes, and also drive revolutionary changes to connected devices, it also brings with it new cyber risks for which the industry is unprepared. Developing a fully integrated strategic approach to cyber risk is a fundamental to manufacturing value change, as they integrate operational technology and information technology, the very force driving Industry 4.0. As threat vectors radically expand with the advent of Industry 4.0, the new risk should be considered and addressed. Let's put it simply, the challenge of implementing a secure, vigilant, and resilient cyber risk strategy is different in the age of Industry 4.0. When supply chains, factories, customers, and operations are connected, the risk posed by cyber threats become all the greater and potentially farther reaching. Thinking about how to address cyber risk at the end of the strategic process is simply likely too late. But cybersecurity, as of today, should become an integral part of the strategy, design, and operation considered from the very beginning of any new connected Industry 4.0 driven initiative. The broad definition of the term life critical embedded systems means that almost any connected device, whether on the shop floor or in an automated system, or remotely located at a third-party contract manufacturer, should be considered as a risk. Even those that only peripherally or indirectly touch the production process. And this also increased the risk and dramatically expanded the threat surface, require fundamental change in how security is viewed within the Industry 4.0 driven manufacturing. As production systems grow ever more connected, cyber threats increase and broaden beyond those seen, as we all know it today. It is not hard, for example, to imagine that misuse or manipulated requests for ad hoc production lines can result in a financial loss, low product quality, and even safety concerns for workers. Further connected factories may be vulnerable to shutdowns or other attacks. Moreover, evidence exists that manufacturers may not be prepared for the cyber risks they're connected. In fact, a 2016 Deloitte MIPI study found that one-third of manufacturers have not performed any cyber risk assessment of their own industrial control systems operating on factory floors. To be quite candid, there's no simple fix or single product or patch that an organization can apply to address the cyber risks and threats presented by the Industry 4.0. Connected technologies already support critical businesses' processes as of today, and these processes will likely only to grow more connected, integrated, and vulnerable in the future. Organizations might thus need to rethink their business continuity, disaster recovery, and response plans to accommodate the increasingly complex as well as those difficult cyber environment. Regulation and industry standards are often reactive, and compliance often represents the minimum security posture. But this does not usually achieve full security across the breadth of technologies in use, which is essentially a particular challenge, given that the disruptors need only find the single weakest point to gain successful entry into an organization system. And this challenge may only continue to grow, increasing connectivity and the need to gather and process real-time analytics may also continue to introduce vast numbers of connected devices and huge amount of data that require protection. Therefore, having said all of this, the breadth of risk requires a secure, vigilant, and resilient approach to understand the dangers and also address the threats in the long term. As the industry moves to capture the business value that comes with what Industry 4.0 has to offer, the need to address the cyber risk landscape with a secure, vigilant, and resilient response has likely never been greater. And one of the things that we need to take into account is that the cyber risk that we face today will definitely change for tomorrow. But the fundamentals of understanding in prevention or preventing these kinds of things will have to start now. And the decision is pretty much within our reach. In today's podcast episode, we'll be talking to a seasoned industrial cybersecurity professional from the Asia-Pacific region, Mr. Gary Kong, as he shares with us his remarkable views on cybersecurity, as well as its challenges, opportunities, and its value proposition to our digital economy. It's great to have you, Gary, and welcome to FinCircle.
Thanks, Edgar, for having me. Great to be here.
Let's probably start by describing the situation of cybersecurity at this stage, and which direction do you think we're going?
Actually, after graduating with a degree in cybersecurity, I actually facing a lot of the difficulties in looking for a job, you know. Back in about 7 years ago, right, that time, not many choices we have. But today, if you look on the LinkedIn, right, you can see a lot of the job opportunities, right? A lot of the opportunities that you can actually look into the cybersecurity. Yeah, so from this scenario, you can actually start to aware there's a rising of the cybersecurity talents, right? The university competency framework, right? So related to the cybersecurity is also starting to getting mature, right? Of course, when there's more people involving in the cybersecurity, then more security weaknesses actually started to discover, you know. Back in, I think, 2015 or 2016, when I'm doing a cybersecurity assessment, the vulnerabilities, right? You know, every time when we're able to find some vulnerabilities, I mean, the security weaknesses in the product, in the software, right? Those kind of the vulnerability will be given an ID, will be given an identity, right? So during the time, right, it's only about 6,000, right? Just around 6,000. But when it started in 2017, you can see that about 1,000 plus, 10,000 plus, and then 2021 last year already increased to 20K. Right, 20,000. Right, so from the statistics here, you can see that a lot of the cybersecurity issues are getting come up from this moment. Yeah, so a lot of the security issues that we are facing, and yeah, we need to work really hard to handle it.
What are the most common misconceptions about cybersecurity, Gary?
Yeah, most of it, you think that the cybersecurity is just a technology issue. Right. I take antivirus as an example. Right. When we think of the solution to protect our laptop, right, we'll look for the best antivirus software, right? So we hope the software can help us to prevent any hacking, right? So this may give us a false sense of security, especially when we don't understand why we need this technology. Why do we need from this technology, right? What we need to do with this technology? We need the antivirus to be able to spot the security virus or the cybersecurity attacks and block it, right? So that the attack will not be able to damage our laptop. However, if we didn't manage our antivirus to update its knowledge regularly to spot the virus, right? If we don't enable the important features to block the advanced cyber attacks, right? Although we managed to get the best antivirus in the world, but I believe our bad habits will still allow the virus to come into our laptop, right? So in short, cybersecurity is not just a technology issue, but it's also a human issue as well.
There has been some survey made recently by McKinsey that there's a 70% chance that your business is compromised right now without you knowing it. In view of this, what are the steps that the companies should take to find out if they've been really compromised?
Right. I think it's quite similar to our financial planning, right? Like, how do you know whether you save money monthly or not, right? We must know very clear about how much is our income, how much we spend, right? We also need to have a goal of our saving, as well as develop a mechanism for monitoring, right? So when it comes to the cybersecurity, firstly, we need to know what we have, right? What are the computers? What are the systems? They are supporting our business. So how these computers communicate with each other so we can create a baseline of what is normal about the network communication and the software associated with the communication. Yeah, so this is the first step. So the second step, if the system are not functioning due to the incident, how much is the business cost, right? How much is the business loss, right? How much can the company save from the incident by putting the investment in the cybersecurity? So the investment can be either the software base or the service base, right? For the product based investment, we can get the intrusion detection and prevention system, IDPS, right? The system will actually look into the data of the network communication to ensure that the data is clean, is safe, right? Even though the data is coming from the trusted computer or the system, right? So this is for the product base. For the service base investment, the business owner can consider the security services like the penetration testing, right? We can hire an ethical hacker, right, to apply those hacking techniques on our computers, on our system, of course, with agreed terms and conditions, right? So this is to evaluate whether there are insecure entry points that can allow the hacker to access to our system. So this is the second point. Lastly, I think we need also monitor our system regularly, right? So that we can spot any differences compared to the baseline we created earlier, right? Of course, the staff should also be trained so that the staff able to understand what goes wrong and how can they respond to the incident, right? So in summary, understand what we have now, invest in the cybersecurity product or the services, and monitoring and training are the key steps to find out if our system has been compromised.
In relation to what you've said, Gary, can you kindly give a few examples of how you've seen cyber attacks impact businesses, specifically in the Asia-Pacific region?
Sure. One of the common consequences from the cyber attacks is unscheduled downtime of production, right? Few months ago, an engineer manager attended my training, right, and shared with me his experience about the cyber attack that happened in his manufacturing plant, right? Of course, this incident is not known to the public, right? All their industrial system are infected by the ransomware, right? So for those who are not aware of ransomware, is a sibling of the virus that actually lock your files in your system, right? So that your files cannot be opened by your system or you, right? So this ransomware stopped their production for 4 days, and they took another 2 weeks to recover their system, all right? So after that, they also review and design their industrial network so that they can improve their cybersecurity after the incident. So from the scenario that I have gave you, you can estimate how much the business need to spend from this incident, right? So this is the first story. Another story that I would like to share is about the SingHealth data breach that happened in Singapore in 2018, right? This incident actually triggered the Singapore government to put a lot of the efforts into improving the cybersecurity for their critical information infrastructure, in short, CII, right? Cybersecurity Code of Practice, CCOP, is developed and outlines many mandatory actions for those CII owner to implement to their environment, right? Including the risk assessment and also the external audit, right? This actually encouraged the top management to look into the cybersecurity. So based on the stories that I shared to you, you can see that although sometimes we have to face those bad incident, however, we manage to learn from it and then improve ourselves. I think this is the good thing that we should take note as well.
What sort of technical knowledge should business leaders obtain to better protect their businesses, particularly in cybersecurity?
Right. For this question, I would recommend the business leader to have a look at NIST NIST cybersecurity framework. Right. So this framework actually summarizes cybersecurity activities into 5 major processes. Right. So the first one, identify the business context and also the strategy. Then after you identify those, what you have, right? The second thing we need to do is manage and protect your assets. For example, your antivirus, your trainings. So those are the activities that you need to spend to protect your assets. And then the third one is detect the anomalies. How can we detect whether there's an attack or not? Number four, respond to an incident. Touch wood, your company is affected by the ransomware. So how should you respond to it, right? So this is the fourth one. Last one, recover from the incident, right? How can we do the recovery? And what should we prepare before this recovery, right? So these are the 5 major processes that the business leader should have a look, right? So that the business leader can able to understand the readiness, right? The maturity of the cybersecurity program. Of course, they can also integrate this, the cybersecurity risk, into their existing risk management as well. Yeah.
Your field of specialization is quite interesting, Gary. As an industrial cybersecurity professional, what are the most challenging situations you have encountered? And what are your relevant takeaways from these experiences?
Right. The most challenging situation I have encountered, is how to implement a cybersecurity program in an industrial friendly manner, right? Together with the key stakeholders from different backgrounds. For example, the plant manager, right, from the process control background, is too confident that their plant is very well protected in an air gap environment, right? And there's no external communication that can go into their plant, right, and cause any damage. The manager also believes that the plant will be running smoothly and also meet the productivity if there's no changes, right? There's no changes to their industrial control system. And they doesn't welcome anyone that's not familiar with the process control to touch their system as well. So this is what the plant manager that I face, right? And from the other hand, right, the IT or the cybersecurity leaders from the IT background, they have a very solid knowledge in the cybersecurity, right? But the leaders might not familiar with the industrial environment. They try to implement the cybersecurity in the industrial environment, maybe by using a compliance or the IT approach. So this might leave a bad experience to the plant manager especially when the action done is affect the operation and also the production of the plant, right? So as a cybersecurity consultant, my role is to build the trust and also bridge these leaders together, right? And then to work out the industrial cybersecurity program that can meet their business objective. So to achieve this, I have to familiar myself with business, process control, cybersecurity, so that I can have a better understanding and also understand what is the expectation from different stakeholders so that I can facilitate the discussion and also provide my experience and also the feedback to them, right? I also like to share the information and also perform the live demonstration of the hacking, of course, in a simulated environment to my business partners so that I manage to show them how the hacker can actually perform the cyber attacks even in the air gap environment, right? So from the sharing or the demonstration, they were able to know what they can improve in their existing cybersecurity programs.
Given that mobile devices and the cloud are the most commonly used in our digital space, are there any specific precautions we should be taking to protect our mobile devices? Number one. What about the cloud? How should we handle the data that flows into that particular stream?
Recently, I have received a call from my friend, right? So he's asking the action to be done after he experienced a scam, right? So my friend actually provided his sensitive information, like the credit card details, into the mobile apps that provided by the hackers, by the scammers, right? So the scammer actually will use the phone call, Facebook advertisements, WhatsApp, or any other platform that can reach you, right? And then the hacker will try to motivate you to install their apps into your mobile devices so that you will fill in the information into the apps. So a question for all of you, right? So normally when we install an application and apps on our mobile devices, so when the application is asking for a certain permission, what will we do? And normally we just press next, right? Agree, next, right? Then we just complete the installation, right? So from the incident and also story that I shared to you here, I would like to encourage all of you actually trying to look into this permission, right? Because this is the permission that you give the application so that the application do this on you. For example, if you are providing the application to access to your photos, to your contacts, right? Basically, they can just download a copy of what you have, right, to their server if they want to, right? So there's a risk about this, right? So we have to understand what this application is trying to do. Of course, if you're not sure whether the application is trusted or not, and then it's better you're not installing the apps, right? It's better you try to download the apps from the trusted source, right? So this is the first thing we need to do about the mobile application. Right, so about the cloud, I believe we have a lot of the online accounts. All right, so how many accounts you have online? Do you remember that?
Of course, more than one.
Yeah, more than one. Right, you have more than one account, but how many sets of the password that we have? Is it more than one or just one? One for all. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So this is the thing we need to consider as well. So imagine if you are using the same password for all the accounts, if the hacker managed to get one of the account, right, get one of the password, then he can apply this password to the other accounts as well, right? So from here, what we have learned is we try to secure our account with the multiple password, right, as possible. Of course, a lot of the techniques we can apply when we creating a password. For example, we can utilize the passphrase as well, right? So you can think of one sentence. For example, I like to eat apple, right? It's a very long sentence. There are many, many characters in the sentence, right? So of course, we know that we need to make this complex. So maybe we can make a capital letter for I and then give a full stop after the sentence. So you can see, actually, it's quite easy to design a very strong and also a simple password. So we just apply this kind of the principle to the other account as well. So yeah, password security is one thing on how can we secure the cloud. And then the second thing we can do, we can also can turn on the multi-factor authentication. All right. So it's one of the settings that you can try to look into look into your Google accounts or your Instagram, Facebook, right? So whenever you're able to log in by using a correct password, this platform will prompt you to do a verification again. So maybe it's an apps, right? Or they're asking you to provide some sort of the one-time password. So yeah, after if you have the device with you, only you can do this approval so that you can log into the account. If you don't have the device, then the people, although able to get your username and password, he can't access to your account, right? So it's good that we also enable the two-factor authentication, right, so that we can reduce the risk that the hacker go into our accounts. Yeah, so these are some tips to share with you about how can we secure our mobile devices and also the cloud accounts.
What are the factors to consider when managing an industrial cybersecurity as compared to other business industries?
Right. So the objectives of the cybersecurity in industrial or the business environment is actually the same, right? So we're going to ensure the CIA, the confidentiality, integrity, and also availability. So these are the three objectives that we try to achieve. However, in industrial environment, we are putting more efforts in protecting the production, right? So we can prevent those unauthorized parties from gaining access to the industrial system, and we try to prevent them to make any changes, especially to the physical operation, that could lead to the safety and also the business loss issue. I had a discussion with a CEO of water treatment plant in the recent risk management training, right? So he was already aware, right, the possible impact if the process control system is down, right, due to a cybersecurity incident, and he know that this will affect their plant operation, right? So, but he never thought that the cybersecurity will also affect their water treatment process as well, right? So I share with him a cybersecurity breach that just happened in early 2021 at the Florida water treatment plant, right? So at the beginning of 2021, this plant attack actually remind us the importance of the cybersecurity. So the attacker actually managed to gain access to the industrial control system that running on Windows 7, right, from the internet. So the hacker can remotely try to increase the amount of the sodium hydroxide in the water. So imagine if we drink the water with the high concentration of the sodium hydroxide, so it might cause a severe burn, right, in our mouth, throat, stomach, right? So luckily, the plant operator managed to notify these anomalies, right, and respond to the incident quickly. So not much damage has been done from this incident. So from here, I believe you have better understanding what is the comparison between the industrial cybersecurity and also the business cybersecurity. Yeah, so for the industrial cybersecurity, you can see the damage is more severe. That would also affect the human safety as well.
What are the advantages of having cybersecurity life cycle process in our business environment and activities?
According to IBM research that conducted in 2021, right, the average total cost of a data breach is increased to $4.24 million, right, USD, right. So from here, we can imagine how much a company need to bear with the cost if the company is experienced in cybersecurity attacks. Right. So of course, a lot of the thing involve the cost as well, right? Especially when we are facing the cyber incidents. For example, we need to do a changes to the production network. It's not easy to change our setup when the thing is running, right? So we also need to spend some cost to hire the vendor to support us when there's an incident. All right. And then during the incident, we know that our profit will be reduced, right? Our productivity and operational effectiveness also reduced, right? So those are the impact of a cyber incidents, right? So of course, in order to minimize the cost that we need to spend for those incidents, we need to have a proper cybersecurity lifecycle, right? So in the cybersecurity lifecycle, basically we involve a few processes, right? So the first one, assessment, right? We should have an assessment before we introduce any new system, right? So we try to identify what are the risks that could be happen in this setup, right? What are the impact to the business, right? If the system is not protected properly. So we do a lot of the assessment, and though also the next stage is about design, right? So after we do the assessment, then we should come up with a list of the requirements, right? What are the requirements, security requirements that we need the system have in this environment, right? So we need to have this design goal in place. So after we have the design goal, and we go to the engineering, right, engineering stage. So in this engineering stage, we have to make sure that the system that we purchase, right, and anything, the network devices or your system that we purchase is having the quality, right? And also the product is able to meet the design goal that we design, that we define earlier, right? And of course, after the engineering, we will be having the implementation stage. So in this implementation stage, besides we have to make sure the system is able to run smoothly, right? We also need to make sure that it's well protected as well. So therefore, we can consider to get a third party to perform some cyber attacks to the system, right? To make sure that the system are configured properly based on what we have been designed earlier, right? And make sure that no one can go into the system at that moment, right? And lastly, we have to make sure that we keep maintaining, we keep operate and also maintain the system so that the system is always able to meet the design goal that we set earlier, right? So if we have a cyber security lifecycle, then a lot of the advantages we have, for example, we will increase the safety level, right? We're able to understand what is our current cyber security risk. We can also take this opportunity to train our staff, right? So to increase the competency in their cybersecurity knowledge, we can reduce the time, right? So to fix the after the incident, and we also reduce the time to design the system again. Let's say we have a new opportunity, we're going to have a system upgrade. You know what are the things that you need to consider in that project, right? So a lot of the benefits that if we're going to implement the cybersecurity lifecycle in our project.
From your perspective, Gary, what do you think are the things we are doing effectively well and things that we can still improve further in the context of cybersecurity?
What we are doing well, based on my observation, I can see a lot of the trainings available online, right? You have a lot of webinars, the free webinars, free resources, free workshop available online, right? So those are the things that we do pretty well, right? So very easy for us to get the knowledge about the cybersecurity, and we can just utilize those free resources to help us to improve the knowledge and implement into our environment, right? So this is what we are doing good. And then for the things that we still can improve, I think our awareness is not sufficient, right? So many of us will think that we are too smart, right? We will not fall into any trap set by the hacker. But sometimes we'll fall into a trap. So my suggestion, what the company can try to do is, the company can try to get the management support to organize the cybersecurity awareness campaign, right? So that throughout the awareness campaign, besides the awareness training, what we can do is, we can try to also conduct the phishing campaign, right? We try to engage a cybersecurity expert so that the expert can design a phishing email, right? So, and then try to blast to our staff, right? And then we try to observe who are the ones that actually clicking on the email, right? Clicking on the link and submit the username password, right? So we can do this kind of assessment to understand better how good is our employee about the cybersecurity awareness, right? So of course, after awareness, then we know what should we improve for the training, and then we emphasize the important things during the training. And after the training, we conduct it again, right? So we try to see whether the training is effective or not for the staff, so that the staff will not click on the wrong thing. Because even though we have a very good product in our environment, because of the mistake by the human, it will create also the opportunity for the hacker to go into our office network. So this is a thing that we can improve.
Given your wealth of experience on this field, Gary, any word of advice that you can give with regards to this subject matter?
Yeah, so the first one, I think we should improve our understanding about how the cybersecurity works, right? So try not to just believe what vendor told us, right? Sometimes we have to investigate, right? We have to verify the things with multiple cybersecurity experts. So this is the first thing that I would advise, right? So the second one is, sometimes I know that we might lack of some budget, right? We're having a low cost. So there are a lot of the free tools actually available that can helping us to achieve what we want as well, right? So yeah, we can consider these open source tools as well. And the third one is about the mindfulness, right? So we have to be clear with what we have, we're doing online, right? So when we're doing a download, we click, install, fill in the information, right? So we must be very clear of what we have been doing, right? So if we're very clear about what we are doing, then we are able to know and aware whether this is a threat by the hacker or not. Yeah, so when we able to aware this, then of course we will not fall into the trap that's set by the hacker.
Are there any initiatives that you're working on, Gary, that you would like to share with our podcast listening audience? And most importantly, what are the easiest way of reaching out or contacting you?
Yeah, you can reach me at LinkedIn, right? So you can go to this website, like linkedin.com/in/GaryKong cybersecurity, right? So this is my profile that you can try to connect. And recently, I also consolidated a list of a great and also a free resources about the industrial cybersecurity in my LinkedIn. So feel free to have a look. I believe the resources is able to help you to have a better idea on how to implement a comprehensive cybersecurity program in your company or your customer. Yeah, so feel free to connect with me if you like to stay in touch.
Thanks so much, Gary, for sharing us your valuable insight on cybersecurity. We wish you great success in the future.
Yeah, thank you, Edgar, for having me here today. I really appreciate it.
Possible by Deep Instinct, by Predictive Intelligence. We would like to express our sincere appreciation to Mr. Gary Kong on sharing us his remarkable perspective on industrial cybersecurity and its critical importance to our digital economy. We would like to hear from you. Share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up on our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Audible, Overcast, TuneIn, and anchor.fm. You can also reach us on our website at fincircle.wordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening to FinCircle. This is Ed Angelus. Let's catch up again soon.